Welcome to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel, and I'm joined by MNN's Bill Werner, Brent Palm, and Mike Grimm. We're going to delve into what's happening in the North Star State. If it matters in Minnesota, we've got it covered. This week, doctors, nurses, and physical therapists from Ukraine are coming to Minnesota to learn how to treat war victims who lose limbs. Golden Gopher men's basketball team members had a fun night earlier this week at the Create a Memory event at Target Field. Auto thefts are on the rise across Minnesota, but first, hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans are enjoying the outdoors this 4th of July weekend, even as large areas of the state have been blanketed this week with smoke from neighboring Canada's worst wildfire season on record. We got a fair amount of rain last weekend in many parts of the state, but now the question is, was it enough to dampen the danger for fires, which have caused so much trouble north of the border? MNN's Bill Werner talked with Leanne Langeberg at the Interagency Fire Center in Grand Rapids.
Short term, the rain that we did receive last weekend definitely helped. We're sitting at levels around low to moderate fire danger currently. But the thing to keep in mind that's really only providing temporary relief. It's likely that we have a temporary relief from these past couple of systems that move through. But once they move out and those warm, dry temperatures move back in, that fire danger is going to start to pick back up, and we'll likely see conditions where we've been throughout the month of June.
Doesn't take long, does it? Even despite a fairly good soaking rain in some areas, if you have those warm temperatures in the 80s or even into the lower 90s, to essentially evaporate that all off, right?
Right. It takes a couple of days. We're really sitting at a deficit anywhere from about 3 to 9 inches, depending on where you're at in the state. And it's going to take several of these types of rain events to get us back to where we're closer to normal. Just to share a quick stat, the month of June has seen 93 wildfires that have been reported throughout Minnesota. The location of those fires has really been north of the Twin Cities, on up to basically the Canadian border. Where that compares to average for Minnesota, we're about double the number of wildfires that have been responded to this year than we typically see in June. If we compare it, though, to a pretty active season that we had in 2021, we're not quite to the 232 wildfires that were reported. So we're kind of sitting in that mid-range of we have the potential for an active summer wildfire season. The more that these precipitation events move through the state, they definitely help. But because we're so far deficit, it's going to take more moisture moving into the state and getting down into the soil to really help move those conditions back to a low to moderate fire danger that continues. You know, it all really comes down to the weather trends that we see. Mm-hmm. So the vegetation has been, you know, set up where it's on that dry path. And the fires that have been developing throughout the month of June have been more aggressive. They're taking longer for firefighters to put them out compared to the types of fires we see during the spring months.
Sure.
And so the longer that we go, you know, the more susceptible trees, grasses, even shrubs are to catching and carrying wildfire. And the more time it takes to get those fires under control and to continue it on through the mop-up where we are surveying the fire area and making sure that those hot spots are out cold.
Now, we are in the middle of a big holiday weekend here. People are spread out all over Minnesota from one end to the other, enjoying our all-too-brief summer on this 4th of July holiday weekend. And so in which areas of the state do we have the highest fire danger?
Yeah, so still looking at that Arrowhead region of Minnesota, so the four counties in the very far northeast, and those counties include Carleton, Cook, Lake, and St. Louis counties. Mm-hmm. Currently, they are under elevated burning restrictions, and those elevated burning restrictions call for no open burning, no campfires in dispersed backcountry, backpacking, or remote camping areas. And then also with that, no fireworks on public or private property outside of city limits. That's where we've seen the greatest potential. We've had one wildfire, the Spice Lake Fire, which is now 100% contained in patrol status within the Boundary Waters Canoe area that sits up in that region. So the potential is there. And while we did get some great precipitation over the weekend, we're expecting a little bit more. As you noted, Bill, it just takes a couple of days, really, for a dry pattern to bring us back to where we were. So for folks that are heading up to northeast Minnesota, just being cautious with your outdoor activities. I think the Chippewa National Forest shared a great post on social media that summed it up really well. Let the stars be the sparkle this 4th of July. There's so many other great ways to enjoy the great outdoors in Minnesota that don't invite a flame or a heat source. And, you know, go out and enjoy the lakes. Go out for a great bike ride. Do all the great things in Minnesota, but just being mindful, the potential of a heat source, catching into a wildfire with the conditions that we've been under, we're just at a higher level this year than we traditionally are at the end of June.
And if people are in doubt about specific burning restrictions in the area where they are at, where's the best place to get that information?
To think of it this way, so no campfires in dispersed backcountry backpacking and remote camping areas. So
okay.
If you haven't established, you know, you're within a park, really the best guidance that I can offer is to check in with either, you know, if you're visiting a state park or a national forest, you know, to check in at the visitor stations and inquire if what restrictions are in place in that local area. That's really the best way to stay safe and follow the guidelines that are in place.
And if a person is, in fact, allowed to have a campfire and with an established ring, say, as an example, what kind of safety precautions to avoid sparking a wildfire by walking away from a campfire that isn't out?
Right. Our advice to everyone is to keep those campfires small and enjoyable. We typically go with the guideline of keep it 3 feet wide by 3 feet high or smaller. It's a manageable, enjoyable campfire. And when you feel that you're done, wrapped up with that fire for the evening, to get that fire out cold. And the best way to do that is to have ample amount of water that you can dump onto that fire, a shovel so you can stir the coals around, because the heat will hold on underneath despite having water that's poured on top. So where you can pour that water on, stir, and repeat that process until you can touch those coals with your hand and know that they are out cold, that is the best process to make sure that your campfire is done and you can continue on safely.
Very good. Leanne Langeberg with the Interagency Fire Center in Grand Rapids, thank you for bringing us up to date on where we are on fire danger in Minnesota and some tips so that we can all be out there this holiday weekend and not spark any sort of conflagration. So thank you very much for that.
Yes, thank you, Bill. We appreciate you helping us share the message.
Time for a quick break. More Minnesota Matters after this.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. Doctors, nurses, and physical therapists from Ukraine are coming to Century College in Minnesota to learn how to treat war victims who lose limbs. Brent Palm gets more information about the upcoming academy from the school's Dean of Health Sciences.
Eric Rydell, Dean of Health Sciences at Century College in White Bear Lake. Tell me a little bit about in the news release it says it's a groundbreaking partnership with the Protez Foundation. Apparently it's related to prosthetics and something I've never heard of before. So tell me a little bit about this.
So earlier this spring, the White Bear Rotary had set up a visit to the area for Ukrainian medical professionals. And as part of that visit, they, I think about 15 of them came to visit Century College, and they were particularly interested in visiting our orthotics and prosthetics program. And as you probably know, orthotics generally refers to braces and prosthetics to artificial limbs. And these were health professionals that were coming, I don't know if they're coming from the front lines, but they were actively treating victims of the war in Ukraine. So they're very interested in what we're doing here. And the orthotics and prosthetics program has been around for, I think, almost 50 years. It's one of, I believe, 16 in the country, and attracts people from other states and sometimes out of the country because there's simply not that many programs around training people how to do this. So they're very interested. And they also had worked with in setting this up with the Protez Foundation, which was set up by a Ukrainian doctor who emigrated to the United States a couple years ago, and he became a prosthetist. He was a surgeon, I believe, in Ukraine, and he set up the foundation to bring victims from the Ukrainian war to the Twin Cities to receive orthotics and prosthetic services. Protez had used volunteers, I believe including faculty from Century, who went there to volunteer orthotics and prosthetics professionals to assist in fittings. So from that visit, Dr. Grednier had the idea that he floated to Stephen Kelly's Minnesota State System about bringing Ukrainian health professionals, doctors, nurses, physical therapists, to Century for a summer training. Because it was a short term and because we needed to put it together fairly quickly, it was non-credit. The participants will still receive an award or certification for participating in the academy, but it's a three-week academy, so 9 hours a day, 5 days a week. The participants will be given instruction, essentially either 4 semesters worth or 2 semesters worth of training in fitting for lower extremities, so the legs and from, I believe, from the elbow on down.
Well, one of the things that I found interesting here is, I have to admit, as a Twin Cities native, I've heard of Century College, but I was unaware that you guys have a well-known orthotics and prosthetics faculty, and I'm reading in your news release, you folks have state-of-the-art orthotics and prosthetic lab.
Yeah, we train orthotics and prosthetics technicians. So there's 3 levels, technicians, assistants, and then practitioners, and we train the technicians and assistants here in Century, and then we have the practitioner requires a master's degree, and so we have a partnership with Concordia University where they finish their master's degree and they still actually come back to Century to do the hands-on work. So yeah, we've been around, always try to allow students to see the latest and greatest techniques. We actually use 3D printing as one of the tools that they're exposed to, as well as some of the more old school techniques. And the training that the Ukrainian participants will receive will be, I think as one faculty said, the essentials, that there's more that could be done, but they wanted to make sure that it was immediately applicable and useful for what they were going to be practicing back in Ukraine.
You know, sadly, Eric, I know the only real negative here is, because it sounds like a nice partnership and you're helping out folks over there. The sad news is that this has to happen because there's a war going on and so many folks are losing their limbs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we have our students certainly work with local hospitals and manufacturers, so we've always had local partnerships that give the students the opportunity to practice in the field like other health programs and then obtain employment after. But this is very much a very direct and urgent need that they're addressing.
Yeah, you guys are a great resource and the demand is there right now. So yeah, it sounds like I'd maybe love to touch base with you again in mid-August or something and see how it goes, because sounds like a timely topic.
Yeah, that would be great. And you're certainly welcome to send somebody take a picture or talk to the faculty. Yeah, we do have volunteer models who come in who are amputees who volunteer to be fitted by students. And we do that during regular programs, and we'll have that as part of the academy this summer as well. So it's they get a lot of hands-on activity and application during their coursework.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking some time to talk with me. I think this is very interesting. Obviously, what's going on in Ukraine is timely as well, but just to kind of you know, highlight what you guys are doing over there and kind of get the word out. Because like I said, I'm in the media and I was unaware. And, you know, especially like you said, being only one of 16 in the country that offers, you know, these types of programs, definitely worth mentioning.
Yeah.
MNN's Brent Palm visiting with Eric Riedel, Dean of Health Sciences at Century College in White Bear Lake. More Minnesota Matters coming up. Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. The number of auto thefts across the state continues to rise. Joining me today for the first half of the segment is Tony Ofsted, Minnesota Department of Commerce Fraud Bureau Director, followed by Duluth Police Officer Morgan Sakala. But first, we're going to start with Tony. Well, Tony, not to put you on the spot, but is there anything particular that is leading to the spike in auto thefts?
You know, I don't know that I can tell you there's any one reason why people choose to commit crimes. if we did, really good grasp on how to get rid of it. I think one of the biggest things that continues to be and has always sort of been in this arena is opportunity. And when we look at opportunity for stealing a car, it's often just as simple as the availability, the proximity. The biggest thing we see time and time again are keys or key fobs being left in the vehicle, which allows it to be an easily targeted vehicle. And we look towards the fall in the winter months. We call them puffers, where cars are running. People can see they're running and unoccupied, so it makes them even easier targets.
I know we've been hearing a lot in the news outlets that Kias and Hyundais, are those the only trends of cars we're seeing, or are we seeing more across the board?
No, it's across the board. Kias and Hyundais certainly are garnering a lot of attention because of the way that it's being sort of championed, if you will, on TikTok and other social media streams on how to steal the cars. But that by no means are the only cars being stolen.
And, you know, you brought up a good point that, you know, it really comes down to motorists being responsible by keeping their cars secure. Are we to the point where people should be getting clubs, I guess, to put over the steering wheel?
You know, I think we endorse just people making good choices around how they can prevent becoming victimized. And there are very few things that are really going to prohibit someone intentionally targeting you as a victim that's going to keep you from becoming a victim if they want your car. So things like, you know, taking your keys, parking in well-lighted areas, being cognizant of where you're parking, you know, looking around, seeing if there's people sitting in cars, staring at you, looking at you. If you're just running inside really quick to run an errand that's going to take seconds to minutes, taking that time to secure your vehicle and take your keys is probably the best advocacy advice I can provide for folks in not becoming victimized by having their car stolen.
And is there any particular time of the day that we're seeing kind of a spike or a trend in these auto thefts?
No. I wish I had better.
All right.
I wish I had a better answer. You know, it's not just necessarily the time of day. Sometimes it's just simply location. If we're looking at, you know, parking malls, gas stations, grocery stores, things where people can be easily distracted by other things they have to do and just don't take that extra step of remembering to grab their keys, secure their vehicle, or for ease of convenience, trying to make it a simple process. That also extends to people in their homes and on their personal property where they have that complete sense of safety and security, and it only takes one person to identify, gosh, they've left their keys in their car in their driveway, or they left their keys in the car inside the garage and they didn't shut the garage door. Or as we have these conversations and we try to bring awareness to this problem, and I simply ask the question, so if I were to go to your house and go through your garage into your home within 10 feet of the door to your garage, do you have the keys to your vehicle? Are they within the garage itself? Are they just within 10 feet of the door of the house? Or do you leave them in the car because you feel like in the garage it's safe? So really just sort of changing some of the patterns of behavior that make it convenient and easy for us can really thwart people intent on making poor choices.
We're in a busy summer tourism season. We've got a lot of concerts, festivals, people hitting area lakes and rivers. And I'm guessing that sometimes we might overlook our vehicle during these times as well, Tony.
Absolutely. You know, Minnesota the land of 10,000 lakes and beyond, and 3 good months to be outside, right? So when we have opportunities for people to get out and engage, especially in water activities, there's always the question of what do you do with your keys? And a lot of times people, out of convenience, will leave their keys within or around their vehicle. And we just really need to be mindful of what opportunities those are presenting and what that can set up. So we really encourage folks to be aware of those opportunities, figure out how they can secure those vehicles on their person or not leave them with the cars. And likewise, when we look at opportunities for thieves, it's personal property left in the vehicle, right? So we look at bags and backpacks and beach bags and towels and things left in the back seats or in plain view. Put those out of sight. Put them in the trunk. Ideally, put them in a secure place before you arrive at your destination so people aren't watching you sort of rearrange your car and hide things in different spots or place things in secure locations. Just eliminate that possibility and those opportunities for other folks intent on making those poor choices.
Thanks again to Tony Ofsted, Minnesota Department of Commerce Fraud Bureau Director. Joining me now is Duluth Police Officer Morgan Sakala. Morgan, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in your area when it comes to auto thefts there in Duluth.
Yeah, Duluth is a little bit different from some of the issues they have in the metro area. Most of our issues stem from people who are typically leaving keys in vehicles, whether it be a key fob or a spare key hidden inside the vehicle. We have a big drug problem here in Duluth, and you get people that are going around neighborhoods, trying car doors, and looking for valuable items they can sell to get drugs, and then they stumble upon a vehicle that might have a key fob in it or find the spare key and then take that vehicle to most of the time commit other crimes with the vehicle.
With Duluth being such a tourism destination, do you tend to see a spike in car thefts during the summer months, or is it pretty much balanced throughout the year?
Yeah, it's balanced. It's just geographically, we would have more vehicles stolen from hotel lots and things like that in our Canal Park area. A lot of times criminals will target those areas because they know that people have vehicles full of valuable items. They might have bicycles, extra baggage, those sorts of things for when they're on vacation. So you get people preying on those parking lot areas and trying car doors. And typically when a vehicle's stolen out of those lots, it's usually when a key is left inside or a key fob.
All right. Well, those are some of the key questions that I had. Was there anything else you wanted to hit on today?
The biggest thing I would say is just if you have valuables, take them with you. Don't leave them in your car. A lot of these criminals are walking around using flashlights at night, looking in vehicles. And if they see something they might think is of value, they're either going to break your car window out or try your car door. And if it's unlocked, they'll have access to those items. And that occurs almost on a daily basis here. So those are the biggest things. Car alarms are certainly of value, especially if someone's trying car doors and your car alarm goes off. That's usually going to get them out of the area pretty quick. So that's important. But the biggest thing I would say with, somewhere 70-80% of our vehicles stolen with some sort of key left in the vehicle is just take your keys with you and make sure you don't have any spares hidden inside the vehicle, because they will find it if they can.
Thanks again to both of my guests, Tony Ofsted with the Minnesota Department of Commerce and Duluth Police Officer Morgan Sakala. More Minnesota Matters after this.
We asked kids what it took to be a dad. This is what they had to say.
A father is always present. I mean, what real father figure can you have if they're not there?
In order to be a good dad, you need to love your son. You need to put gas in your car so you don't break down in the middle of nowhere. And you need to make them breakfast. Yep.
I mean, just to maybe play like a board game with me, or to just stay home and play some video games with me. Just to do like that one little thing is what I really look forward to.
I'm not asking him to be a perfect dad, but he should try.
He's just a constant force in my life.
There's no other type of love like a dad's love, because it's not comparable to anything else.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. Golden Gopher men's basketball team members had a fun night earlier this week at the Create a Memory event at Target Field. For more than 30 years, the annual event has allowed children from Minneapolis and St. Paul to take part in fun events, first at the Metrodome and now at Target Field. Hundreds of kids participated in the event, including baseball and softball stations, a tour of Target Field, autographs from participating celebrities like the Gopher men's basketball team, and much more. Eminent sports director Mike Grimm spoke with Golden Gopher basketball forward Dawson Garcia of Savage at Target Field at the event this week.
We had a great time interacting with the kids and just everybody that came out to the event. You know, it's a great opportunity for us as the Gopher men's basketball team just to come out here and give thanks and give back to the community, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And, you know, we couldn't be more thankful and fortunate for the support of our fans and whoever's out here.
And then when you get a chance to see young kids who might need a little boost or might get a kick out of seeing you as a big, tall, 6'11 basketball player, what kind of satisfaction do you get out of that, maybe helping a young kid?
Honestly, it's a big-time satisfaction. That's a big reason why I do this, you know, just being able to brighten somebody else's day and uplift somebody else. Because I remember once being a kid and looking up to people, and just a small word or a look or a smile really went a long way. So I try to keep that in mind and come out here and just have fun with these kids.
You know, the organizers here were saying you guys stayed longer than almost anybody last year, signing autographs and helping the kids out, and I assume that's the plan as we're just getting ready to start the event this year here at Target Field, the plan again today.
Of course, yeah. I think we're all excited to be out here. It's not just something, you know, it's not something that the coaches are making us do. It's all something that we want to be out here and doing. So we're all looking forward to it, and it's going to be a good night.
Now, were you much of a baseball guy growing up in the Prior Lake Savage area?
I was. I actually played baseball for a long time in my childhood, up until like the high school time. But so I love baseball. I don't watch a lot of it anymore, but I still love to play it.
Is it kind of cool being out here, growing up here out in Target Field for yourself too?
Yeah, it is super cool. I was a little kind of starstruck last year, but it's cool seeing it again this time around.
What position did you play when you were growing up playing ball with I assume the Prior Lake youth?
Yeah, I played third base, first base, and then outfield.
With, as a lefty, you're kind of limited, right?
I'm actually right-handed.
Oh, you're right-handed when you throw.
I do everything right-handed except for shoot a basketball, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting little sidebar. All right, well, let's talk about how your summer's going here as we're into the summer school period, and you guys can work out some with each other, certainly, and then with coaches at times, and then you get into the weight room as well. How's the summer going up to this point?
Summer's going really good. You know, I'm really excited about our team. All working really hard right now, and we got a chip on our shoulder.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of Minnesota Matters. Be sure to join us again next week on this MNN affiliate station. Same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Tasha Radel.